Before that, it had never been done, right? Never been done. So it doesn't matter how many people line up and say, hey, I know you're a Christian and all, and you're all like faith, but that's never been done before. So don't, you don't have to go. Tell them just be quiet. Because through God, I will do valiantly. It goes on to say, and it says, it is He. He's going to do this. Man, you don't have to do it. Just trust in Jesus. He will tread down the adversary. He want to stomp on their head and run them over. Just love it. Oh, praise you, Jesus. If you doubt it, just think about salvation. He rose from the grave. Is there anything He can't do? He rose from the grave. He laid His life down and He picked His life right back up. That had never been done before. Sure, there had been people who'd been raised from the dead, but He called them out of the grave, right? He was the first and the only one to lay His life down and then pick it back up. That's why we say He has the keys, doesn't He? So, through God, I will do valiantly. Man. You know, and I guess the psalmist said maybe just one time isn't enough. So again, in Psalm 108, verse 13, he says again, through God we will do valiantly, and it is He who shall tread down our adversaries. Do you see a theme? You see a theme? Oh, man. Heavenly Father, I'm going to ask You today to come and meet with us and teach us. Teach us today, Lord, how to do valiantly. Teach us how to wage war as mighty men and women. Lord, not after the flesh, but after what You say about us, after the spiritual realities. Open our eyes and let us see what You say about us and the situations we live in. Today, Lord Jesus, come and open up our eyes and let us see on this Palm Sunday, You are the King. You are the King. There is no weapon formed against You that is ever going to prosper. And we're on Your team. We're in Your house. We're heirs. We're sitting on the same throne with You. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, praise You, Jesus. So in Jesus' name, open up our eyes this morning so that we could just see You do valiantly in our midst. Amen. Well, turn and tell somebody beside you, you are a mighty man or woman, whichever applies. You're a mighty man or you mighty woman. You could be seated in the house this morning, and thank you, worship team, for worshiping. Kids are dismissed. Man, oh man. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, I'm about to do something in starting of a service that I haven't done before. I'm going to show a video of something that I don't know if is even legal to do in church. I'm sure it's not politically correct. I'm sure there's offensive stuff in it. But I don't know. I offend myself daily, so I figured I might include you too. So, the reason I want to show this video is because I want to ask you a question of what does it look like to triumph? What does it look like to be mighty? What does it look like to be an overcomer? And as I was pondering this, as I felt like the Holy Spirit was asking me these questions about being a mighty man and overcoming and triumphing, you can tell how spiritual I am by what I went to. And so I'll start the message where it started for me. So I invite you to watch this video about triumphing. Here we go.
Hey, dummy! Are you bored or just plain stupid?
No, I'm Forrest Gump.
Just run away, Forrest.
Run, Forrest! Run away! Hurry!
Get the bikes!
Hurry up! Let's get it! Come on!
Look out, dummy! Here we come!
Run, Forrest, run! Run, Forrest!
We're back here, you!
Run,
believe it if I told you.
But I could run like the wind blows. From that day on, if I was going somewhere, I was running.
So is it too dorky for me to show that? No. Do you get the feeling? Running right out of those leg braces. I can't get away from some images. And for whatever reason, that kept coming back to my brain. I tried to become very spiritual, but I would come back to this video. I was like, give me something spiritual. And that's all I was coming up with. I'm like, holy cow. I even told a group of pastors we were at a meeting. I was like, what are you doing on Palm Sunday? They said, I think I'm going to show a video of Forrest Gump. They all laughed. And they were like, on Palm Sunday, and I was like, I don't know, I got nothing else. I'm going to show a Forrest Gump video and see where it goes from there. And they were like, man, I think people are going to start coming to my church. And turn with me to 1 Samuel, because this is what it looks like in Scripture. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, we see the beginnings of a mighty move of God in the Old Testament. We see the beginning of mighty men. We see the beginning of people coming together and forming a group of people who love the Lord and do valiantly. And you'd think that when God brings people together to do mighty things for the Lord, He handpicks the cream of the crop, right? He picks those that are talented, have great ability, superpowers, so to speak. But that's not the case. If you want to know how God picks you and what He does with you from where you come from to where you're going, it looks like what we read here in 1 Samuel 22. And I want to hear in verse 2. It says, and everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. Who are we talking about? King David. This is a story about King David. King David, who's anointed king, and yet is running into problems with the current king, King Saul. So much so that the current king, King Saul, is so jealous of the anointed and soon-to-be king that he's throwing spears at him. He's just tormented. His heart is grieved, and life is miserable. And it got so bad that David's had to flee because Saul's going to kill him. And that's a miserable day, isn't it? I mean, I've had bad days, but I've never had a day where everyone in power is out to kill me, not figuratively, literally. That's pretty sad. And in this moment of hiding out in this cave of Adullam, this huge cave, we get to this verse, and it says, and everyone who was in distress. Sounds like the beginning of a good group, right? And everyone who was in debt. Sounds like the start of a great church, doesn't it? I'm sure it's like people... No one starts churches like this, by the way. You know, they don't say, hey, let's call all the distressed ones. Hey, anyone broke? Let's all the broke people get together. So, and then the last one, discontented. Okay, maybe that's how some churches do start. But this is a great way to describe an awesome move of the Lord, right? Distressed, discontented, in debt. And they're hiding. And their leader is the one that everyone in the current power wants to kill. So I look at this and I think, okay, God, why? Well, it's funny to me, but when Kerry Kirkwood was here, he kept saying in two different times in a word that he spoke over me, he said, God's going to really bring about, he's about to release, now's the time for a vision that you had over 30 years ago. I'm going to get emotional if I'm not careful, so I'm going to hold it back. You know what that vision was? This. That vision was this. When I was first thinking about going into the ministry, as the Lord was making it very plain to me, I began to have this call, and it came prophetically. Someone spoke over me and said, you're like David, and you're going to have the distressed, discontented, in debt. I didn't really even understand what that was, but I'll tell you, that was not like a, yay, thank you for that prophetic word. But something in it stuck, and I was like, man, I don't know. Something sounds good to me. When I hear that, something sounds good to me. And then I really resisted my call. I didn't want to receive that call of the Lord. And then as I yielded and I turned my life over to the Lord and I went to Bible school, finished Bible school, started youth ministry, and then took my first pastorate and I began to get into ministry, I noticed something in the fingerprint of my ministry that I connected well with people that were distressed, discontented, and in debt. They didn't feel threatened around me. And I'll tell you, there was a stigma with it. Because all of my other minister buddies looked for the big jobs. Looked for the big, you know, flash in the pan. And they would find favor with people. It just seemed like people would come to them in their fancy cars and in their big whatevers. And then I would compare myself, and this is what I would see. Well, this drug addict really likes me. But he can't even show up to church regularly. What am I supposed to do with that? And then my other buddy, he has friends that show up and they've got like $30,000 they're just willing to give to whatever you want to start. And I'm going, I don't know what to do with that. And, you know, and I struggled with the stigma of what I was experiencing in my calling. And I kind of ignored it. And I thought, maybe it's just me. You know what? For whatever purpose or for whatever reason, that has never left me in my heart. And when Brother Carey spoke, it rekindled some of this. Now, what I'm not saying, so don't take this wrong, I'm not saying you are the distressed, discontented, and in debt. So I don't want you to take this in the wrong way. Now, if you are distressed, discontented, and in debt, praise God, you're in the right place. Woo! Okay, now wait. So I don't even know if that's something to clap about, but I mean. But here's the thing. It is those people that God picked to become mighty men and mighty women. And that's the part that I hear when I hear those words, distressed, discontented, and in debt. I hear, okay, well, that's how we come to the cave. That's how we come to our King. But he doesn't leave us that way, does he? He turns us around. He does something wonderful. He gives us a new identity. He trains us in a different way. And how we came to him, which was not succeeding and kind of feels bad, him in our life, it turns us around and something begins to change. There's a momentum, there's a synergy, there's a camaraderie, it's like whatever didn't work before suddenly starts to work. And in this moment where I was losing in battles, now I begin to gain victories and I start to win and I get addicted to it. Something changes. And where I used to see myself as distressed, discontented, and in debt, now I'm beginning to see myself differently. And church, when you begin to see yourself, not how you came to the Lord, but how the Lord is remaking you and what his purposes and plans are for you, something begins to change in your heart. You begin to feel differently about every day. You begin to look at the enemy in a different way. You begin to look at challenges in a totally different attitude. You're no longer fearful and wondering what if. Now you're going, okay, how are you going to do this, God? You know, you're not ignoring some of the limitations in the natural. What you are doing is you're seeing God instead of your limitations. And you begin to say, God is bigger than this. Why? Well, he was bigger than this last month. He was bigger than that. And you begin to build a track record of one victory after another victory after another victory. So let's fast forward. In David's experience with these 400 schmoes, we're going to call them schmoes, what happened? If you were to go to 2 Samuel 23, verse 8, you would say some of these things about them. Just listen to these wonderful exploits. I look at this and I think it's amazing. In 2 Samuel 23, verse 8, it says, these are the names of the mighty men whom David had. I'm not going to attempt to say that name. Okay, we'll just go with that. He was the chief of the captains, and he was called the... Why did the Bible do this? There's one name, and then what we call him this. And it seems like that happens all the time, doesn't it? When you're reading, you're like, okay, so... And it's, I don't believe it's because the first name was so hard to say, they came up with an easier nickname. I don't think it was necessarily that. But I'll tell you, this happens so much in Scripture. Oh, you call yourself Jacob, I'm going to call you Israel. Oh, you call yourself Cephas, I'm going to call you this. Or, you know, oh, you call, you know, I look at this and I think, man, this happens all the time. It's because this is the way God works. He doesn't just spiritually change us. He gives us a brand new identity. He even speaks a name over you that's new. This is real. You're adopted into a whole new family. You get a whole new name. It's so cool how God gives you a whole new identity from the inside and the out. People begin to know you differently, just like if you had a brand new name. And so it says right here, this guy, this new guy, who they now call Adino, the Eznite, because 800 slain by him at one time. 800. Now, I cannot believe that this is exaggeration or hyperbole. This was something, I mean, they knew these people by name. They gained a reputation because, think about this guy, was distressed, discontented, and running from something, till now God works in his life, and he is the chief of the mighty men. One man can slay 800 in one time. What in the world? Some of us can't get out of bed on certain days. But God comes in and says, oh, that's not how you're supposed to be known. You're more than a conqueror, so you don't only just get up out of bed. You get up out of bed and you have five new vision things that you just saw that inspires you to get moving in your day. And little by little, you're taking ground. You aren't just surviving, you're overwhelming the enemy. A lot of Christians are just in survival mode. Just save me, Lord. Let me hide out in this cave until you come and get me. That's not really a gospel message. That's just hospice for Christianity. You know, save you and keep you there until you die. No, God says, no. The whole point that I wanted you to come here and get saved is so I can send you out and take back and take ground and occupy territory and be fruitful and multiply and do all that stuff. And in order to do that, you got to know yourself by a new name and a new identity. You got to think of yourself as an overcomer and a mighty man or a woman of God. Man. And so we go on. You know, there was another guy. Verse 9 says, and after him was a guy whose name is a little bit easier to say, Eliezer. Thank God he wasn't named like his dad, Dodo. I know, these names are so funny. I know it's a cultural humor. This is so wrong. You know how some people name their kids names out of the Bible? How come nobody looked in the Bible and thought, let's name our kid Dodo? It's in the Bible. You can have that. One of you is going to have a son someday, and you're going to be like, oh, look at him. He looks like Dodo. Let's name him Dodo. A mighty man of God, Dodo. And so he's one of the three mighty men with David, and they defied the Philistines who were gathered in battle. These were men of Israel. Wow, I just love it. 2 Samuel 23, and then skip down, verse 16. Three mighty men broke the camp of the Philistines just to get a drink of water. I would do that for an espresso. Not sure if I would do that for water. But you know what? What it represents is amazing. And to think about that, they broke through a fortified encampment to just get a water, just get water for their leader. It's wonderful what you see them do. It's crazy too. And then they bring it to him. In chapter 23, skip down a little bit more, verse 20, it says this other guy, Benaniah, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel. Boy, these names are killing me. Who had done mighty deeds. Here's what some of the things is. He killed two sons of Ariel of Moab. These were probably big dudes, okay? Kind of like some of these mighty men were told they killed like a magnificent Egyptian. Scripture doesn't say things like that just because they like flowery words. These were like sons of giants and big people. Some of these guys that they killed had six fingers on each hand and six toes. Talk about a Princess Bride moment. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? Nobody watches Princess Bride? Okay, sorry. And a giant with six fingers on each hand? Come on! I would be totally distracted in warfare. Roar! I'd be like, wait, you got six fingers? I wouldn't even be able to fight after that. And he's like, yeah, and six toes. Look at this. This is really hard to find shoes. And so these guys killed two guys from Moab and also went down and killed a lion in the middle of a pit on a snowy day. Ain't ever done that before. And, honestly, I don't think I would stand up to this. There was one time I was sent in with my dad to the garage to kill a hornet's nest with him. And we had big old torches and stuff like that. And dad's like, come on, man, face your fears. We're going to go in there. And then he sent me first. I was 9 years old, but this is the way we rolled in my family. You learned by being thrown in the deep end of the pool. I just love this. And so he's like, let's go in there. So we had these big rolls of like paper, and we had a torch, and he goes, we're going to smoke them out and then burn the nest. And so I go in, and sure enough, I do this. And anybody who knows this kind of stuff, we didn't do anything right. And, you know, we're torching them, and they're angry, and they attack. And so I was swarmed. And then there were also these big like wood beetles that, you know, drill these quarter-inch holes. They're perfect quarter-inch holes. It's amazing. The same teeth that they used to drill that hole, they flew onto me. And there was one, it crawled up into my shirt and is drilling a hole in my shoulder like this. So I'm running, 9 years old. I'm running out of the shed. I'm screaming. I drop the torch and I run through the yard, 7 acres. I'm running through the yard and find the pool, jump in the pool, and I'm doing this. What does my dad do? That was great! I think we didn't get all of them, so we're going to have to do it again. And so I'm a chicken when it comes to facing even things like bees. Don't get me started on some of the other things that I've had to kill. And so when I think of what this guy did, it's a snowy day. He looks down in a pit. I mean, they probably caught him in a pit on purpose to kill him, and he didn't want a spirit. He was showing off, I imagine. He's up there, and he's like, sure, you could kill it, you know, spirit. How about I just jump down there and blah, blah, blah. And so I'm sure everybody's like, come on over. This guy's as crazy as Dodo. We got to watch him. And he does it, and he kills him. I look at that, and I think, this is insane. These men, you can read the accounts throughout these wonderful historical books in the Old Testament of these mighty men. These mighty men, no joke, they were crazy awesome. I look at it and I almost think, we can't capture it in movies, what they did. And it seems unbelievable in our day and age. And yet, this is the picture that I get in my heart of what the Lord is speaking over us as a church and over people that come to churches, not just ours. When we come to churches, these are strongholds, these are holdouts where people meet God. Often when people come to church, they're running from something. Most people don't come to church just because life is great. Why? Because when life is great, God is easy to not think about. But the minute you're going through a marital crisis or your kid just got, diagnosed with some horrible thing, or your finances just fall apart, or you just lose your job, suddenly God is something you're thinking about. And you come knocking on the door of a church Just like these distressed, discontented, in debt people came knocking on the cave and said, hey, we're running from stuff, but maybe what you are finding is what we need too. And David says, yeah, you know, the same God that is with me, that helped me kill the giant, is still with me. And if we seek his face, he will lead us valiantly. He'll give us victory upon victory. But you've got to follow him. Follow me, follow him. Let's go and let's fight. And you look at this and I think, this is what people need today. They need Christians who are willing to say, I accept the mantle of a mighty man or a woman. You have to be willing to accept that. You can't be like me when God says, I want to take you and I want to surround you with people that need to know they're a mighty person, you know, and go, I just don't know. I'd like to have people already mighty. Can you just surround me by people already mighty? No, that's not the way God works. He takes us from a place and remakes us brand new. And so I was looking at a couple scriptures, and when I think about these scriptures, here's something that begins to come into my focus or into my mind. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, you'll hear this same kind of feeling. But the apostle is saying thanks to God. Here's what he's saying thanks to God for. He says, thanks to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Thanks to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And he manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. The sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. Wow. Why is he saying this? Well, in that same letter, 2 Corinthians 7, 5 through 6, it says we hear what it is that he's thanking God for and all the reason for him just bursting out in a thanks. And here's what's happening. In 5, 6, and 7, it says, for even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. Our flesh had no rest. They were probably being chased or persecuted, or there was tension and animosity. And we were afflicted on every side. He's describing what his experience is like. We were afflicted on every side. It says conflicts without and conflicts on the inside, fears within. Sound like a good apostle, doesn't it? You know what being like a mighty man of God looks like? Oh, our flesh has no rest. I am so weary. Anybody weary? Oh my gosh, I'm so weary at times. I'm so worn out. I'm fatigued. But my spirit is strong. But my body's worn out. You know those mighty men in a different story? We won't go there, but I'll just reference it. At one point, they were pursuing the enemy, and they were so fatigued, yet still pursuing. And it says this, this is the way mighty men work. Sometimes your physical body's worn out, but you're still pursuing God. And that's what Paul is saying. He goes, oh, afflicted on every side, no rest, fears without, fears within. And then it says, but God comforted us. And he comforted us in our distress by the coming of another mighty man of God, Titus. Oh, this is fun. See, here's what I'm seeing. God wants us to be mighty men and women, but you cannot do this all by yourself. It starts, you've got to be a mighty man or a woman because you're finding your strength in God personally. But don't think this is all you and Jesus only. You must have strength in community. You must have strength with other mighty men and women. If you don't have that, you will feel disconnected and loose. And I know there are times where people come to our church, and, you know, this is a wonderful church. It's a friendly church, all this kind of stuff. But there have been people who say, I just don't fit in, man. I'm not feeling comfortable yet. I just don't. You know what I see a lot of times? They make no effort to connect. Many people have talked to me about this. Pastor, I just don't feel connected. I say, well, what have you done? What have you? Oh, I've tried. You know, they've not really tried. As a pastor of this church, let me just tell you, if I don't call some people, they don't necessarily call me. I have even got to call people. I got to hound them sometimes. Hey, let's get together. Let's go do churchy things or God stuff. Or let's go shoot guns. Or let's go play around. Or I don't know, let's go do something. And then they're like, ah, not now. I call them next week. Hey, still me. Let's get together. Let's do this. Ah, I just don't feel it. I don't care. I'm coming over. Now, I can't do that with 150 people. So if you're like, well, dude, you never done that to me. Well, that's because I'm still picking on the one person who ain't returning my calls yet, okay? So, you know, give me some time. I'll get to you. And, you know, this is the reality for each and every one of us. You have got to be like a Titus, bringing the blessing and the strength to someone else. Do not expect to be a mighty man who never calls someone else and goes and aligns yourself with someone else. You need to do this. You need to do this. So here at this church, you want to know what mighty men look like? You are finding someone to support and to be a blessing to. You've got to be tenacious in this. You got to be supportive in this. You got to be backing them up at all times. This is so good. Now, it's funny because in my role as a pastor, I get kind of some benefits. I get a prayer leader or so that will call me, Pastor, I'm praying. And so Trisha will call me and she'll say, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for the elders. I'm praying for the church. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus, because, you know, I need that. But you know what? She's doing that for me. You got to be doing that for somebody else. There are times this week I felt like the Lord put somebody on my mind. And what did I do? I made a note of the scripture and I texted him. I said, hey, I was praying. I was crying over you this morning. And here's the verse that I was thinking about. And this is what I was praying for you specifically about. And you have to do that kind of stuff in your family and in your spiritual family. You've got to do this kind of stuff. If you don't, then you might be like a Titus who never showed up. See, I want to give everyone in this room a good excuse to say, thank God who always lead me in triumph and victory over the enemy because Tim came over to my house and prayed with me today. You know, or I thank God because you gave me the victory because so-and-so just called me and shared this word and it just lit my soul on fire and I was distressed, discontented, in debt. But then you called and now I'm all kinds of excited. Woohoo! The fallout. You know, this is the way it happens. We can't do this on our own. If you don't believe me, there's sections in Scripture where it tells us very plainly that we're the body of Christ, and the way it grows is by every single ligament supplying, connected, and supplying what is needed to the other ligaments and other parts, you know, of the body. And so it is a beautiful analogy. That's in Ephesians chapter 4. You could read that in Ephesians 4:16. Man. But the other thing that I see is this about mighty men, and we're going to close it in this. Look at this. Boy, I'm doing really good on time today. This is nice. What kind of a mighty thing will you do? See, mighty men got a name because they did something. I want to talk about this sensitively because I just don't want to misspeak. We overcome the enemy because of our faith in Jesus, right? Faith is not just a description. It's a doing word. It's not just saying, oh, you have faith, like you're wearing a pink shirt or something like that. No, that's not what it is. You have faith means you are doing something. These mighty men got names of renown because they did something. So what are you doing? What are you doing? Peter became this mighty man underneath Jesus' ministry because Peter was the one who did dumb things in Jesus' name and got these awesome benefits. He walked on water. Why? Because he believed that you could? No. He went, hey, if that's you, I want to walk on water too. And he said, come on out. All right. There are times where I think he stepped out tentatively, but knowing Peter's personality, what's to say he didn't go, tell me if it's you, I'm going to walk. And he went, it's me. Come on out and walk. And he went, what if he did that? Because all we really know is he stepped out of that boat and he started walking, and it wasn't until he got his eyes off Christ and onto the waves and the wind and all that that he began to sink. And you know, I look at this and I think maybe he just jumped both feet. That's kind of how he did things. What about you and I? What do we do? And so I look at this and I'm reminded of many people throughout history who had this characteristic of valiant trait of some sort. And one of them that I just was reading about was at the beginning of our nation, you know, George Washington, when he was just 22 years old. I look at this. During the French and Indian War, it was he was called upon to help another general go lead this little battle and take over this fort, and it was all doomed from the very beginning because they were going to fight in European style, you know, rank and file, and just kind of, you know, up in here, you know, you got all these Indians and these people partnering together, and they were fighting in guerrilla warfare style, you know, from in the trees and picking people off and stuff, totally, you know, uncivilized in their brain. I'm thinking, no, that's called smart. Don't shoot me. I'm hiding behind a tree. I'll shoot you. You know, that's smart, but no, that's not the way they fought. And so this young 20-something-year-old, you know, guy is telling, you know, his general, his leader, his commander, he's like, I don't think we should do this. And he's like, yeah, you're just a kid. You don't know nothing. And they get ambushed by these Indians. And in one single battle, all of these leaders on their horses, they were easy targets. Every one of them was picked off except for George. His horse was shot out from under him. You know what he did? He jumped off of that horse and ran and jumped onto another horse. And then that horse was shot out from underneath him. And what did he do? He finally, after so many men were killed, slaughtered, literally there were just bodies everywhere. It was a bloodbath. And he led this like meager, like surviving squad out of the woods. And when they looked at him, his hat had been shot off. His outfit had bullet holes all through him. He didn't have one scratch on him. And when they asked him, they said, how in the world? And he said, one answer, providence. That was his word for God. God. God has protected me. Now, you got to realize that this was not just in this, but at least five historically documented times he should have died, but he didn't. And you look at that and you think, oh my goodness, why in the world would that take place like that? Well, because we needed someone with a valiant heart that wasn't just a believer in God, but a doer to birth even a nation. We look at this and our nation today is great, not because we have all this fancy stuff. We're great because we were founded on virtue. That was a fancy word for godly virtue. So what makes America great is that we are good in the biblical sense of it. And when we lose our goodness, we stop doing what is right, then we lose what is our foundation for greatness, and our nation is no longer great. So what is needed is we need people who are willing to say, I will do valiantly, I will be good. In a land where no one wants to do good, I'm going to start doing good. This is such an unpopular topic because nobody wants to do good. Why? Because it's going to make somebody else feel bad about what they're doing. And we don't want to feel bad. I don't want to think about that. I just want to do what is right and I want to do it with all my heart. So when we stand up and we do valiantly, God begins to move in our midst. So what is it that you need to do? My heart for you is this. I want to see God change your self-image from distressed, discontented, or in debt to an image where you are called to be a mighty man or a woman. And I want to see you have something in your heart stir and say, you know what? Through my God, I will do valiantly. And stop thinking about how you used to live. That's how you used to live. When you come into the cave, you come one way. When you go out of the cave, you are a different way. God is your rock. Come and hide in Him. Find your sense of meaning and purpose in Him. Find a new identity. Get a new name. Hopefully it's better than Dodo or any of those other ones. And you can go and you can fight valiantly. I want you to just close your eyes for a second, and I want you to ask yourself the question, if you're feeling stirred in your heart to have a change in the way you see yourself, do you need to see yourself as a mighty man or a woman today? And if that's you, I want you to stand in just a couple seconds, but think about it. Is there an area in your life where you've limited yourself, where you said, yeah, I just can't, That's just not me. It's not the way I am. That's, and you might be right. That's how you used to be. But is the Lord stirring in you as I share this today? Do you want to be like that silly video we showed at the very beginning? I'm the voice in that video that says, run. Come on, get out of here and go. And what's going to happen is as you respond to the Holy Spirit's voice that says, run. Stop looking at yourself as someone with a handicap and can't do. Start running. You're going to take one step. You're going to take another. You're going to start taking more and more. And before you know it, a miracle is going to take place in your heart, in your mind, and in the natural. You're going to see God remake you. So if you're needing in an area of your life a change to see yourself more mighty than you ever have, would you just stand? This is between you and the Lord. I don't know what it is you're thinking about, but if you need a change in that, go ahead and take a stand. And then I'm going to pray over you. Praise you, Jesus. 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 Praise you, Father God. Praise you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you're highlighting in our hearts a higher purpose, a calling bigger than what we think of ourselves. And so, Lord, in this moment, come and remake minds. Change the way we see things. Holy Spirit, come and refresh purpose, refresh calling. Heal. Right now, remove stigmas and heal. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, would you put a silencer on the voice of the enemy and let there be a just fruit and a solid foundation for everything that you're speaking to every person in this room right now. From this moment on, Lord, let there be a change in the way we think of ourselves in this room. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let every person standing here in this room have this tattooed on their heart, indelibly imprinted. I can do all things through you who gives me strength. In every circumstance, whether I have much or little, I can do all things through you. Lord, let their hearts have a new beat to it. Let it say that through you we will do valiantly. You're going to tread down the enemy. Lord, let it be there. So in Jesus' name, I speak hope and a future over every person that's standing. I speak clarity of calling, a real distinction of calling. In the same way that every mighty man had something of note that they were tied to. This person did this mighty feat. This person did this different mighty feat. Lord, let every person in this room find distinction in doing valiant things, mighty things in your name. Lord, I declare that some in this room are giant killers. I declare that some in this room are titans of business. I declare that some in this room are taking back the enemy's camp. That whole ground, they're the ones that are breaking through enemy lines and taking over parts of even this city. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, you're taking some that have been plagued with disease and you're giving them gifts of healing and great faith. Thank you, Jesus, that some in this room are being marked for boldness. They've been timid all of their life, but you have called them to be bold as a lion. So, Lord, I thank you for a new label, a new identity. Praise you, God. Thank you that some in this room right now are being called to be bridge builders between ethnic groups. Bridge builders, tearing down prejudice and division. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for marking someone in this room with power to overcome addiction and to bring people out of addictive behaviors into freedom, true freedom. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. I thank you that you're marking some for great acts of service, for the highest positions in your kingdom, serving in such an insignificant way that their name is becoming great in the heavens. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Yeah, I just feel that somebody is going to be sensing more and more of a servant heart. You're going to be willing to serve no matter what time, no matter what day, in whatever capacity. You don't care if anybody even knows your name. You're going to serve, 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 serve. And by that, the kingdom of God is going to be so advanced because of your servant heart. God is marking you as a servant. Boy, if there's anything that's like Jesus, that's like it. So I thank you right now, God, for marking us like that. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Well, let's all stand together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence here in this place. As we worship your mighty name, as we bow down in honor of you, as we magnify all that you are, all that you've done, all that we know you're going to do, Lord, let the enemies be scattered as we lift you up in praise. Praise you, God. Let there be healings. Let there be miracles. Let there be things that affirm your word in this place. Praise you, God. Your name we pray all this. Amen. Well, as you're dismissed today, we're going to open up the altar for a time of prayer. If there's anything that you want prayer for, anything specific, come on down. We'd love to pray with you. Other than that, we're going to start transitioning for next service.
Thank you for joining The Visible Church online. If you have any special prayer needs, please contact The Visible Church through email at prayer@visiblechurchgb.com. Or you may call us at 920-569-0944. We hope you'll be back soon, and may God bless you. Oh, bless you.